Much of the coverage surrounding MK has focused on the drama, the defections, the court battles, the internal disputes, and the rhetoric. But political parties don't survive on rhetoric alone. Sooner or later, they need people who understand how government works, how policy is developed, and how laws are made. Patrick Mutubase may be one of the people trying to answer the question the MK party will increasingly face. Can a movement based on disruption become a vehicle for governance? Today, we explore that question in a wide-ranging conversation about the MK party's ideology, its priorities, and how it believes some of South Africa's biggest challenges can be addressed. Patrick, thank you for joining me.
Because your profile has so much credentials from student politics, from SACP, NEHAU, all of that, I'm very interested. And so you were born inside the alliance of the ANC.
Yeah.
And that's your political journey. I would be very interested to know when you decided that that was no longer your political home and you wanted to make the jump to the MK. What happened?
You know, it was not an easy decision, I must say, because the African National Congress was my home, the SACP in particular, and I was actually schooled in the trade union movement. And when I say schooled, I really mean schooled. You can go through the history of the alliance and the leadership that would emerge and drive the alliance as a whole will come from the trade union movement. You can go into, the current president. You can go into the current finance minister, the former general secretary of NUMSA. You can go into, like, the president. You can go into the former deputy president, Khalema Motlanthe, from the National Union of Mine Workers. You can go into most of the ministers who came through, Tulas Ngesi and all them. And so... For us in that generation, that has been the university that that actually drove or made us to be what we are today. And I can tell you, even if you can go through the inception of democracy itself, you'll realize that their performance and the reason why the alliance has entrusted them with that responsibility is because of what they've gone through. You look at the former premier, for example, of Gauteng, David Makhura. By the way, he was my deputy general secretary when I was in NEHAU, and he was also my education secretary at the national level when I was the education secretary in Gauteng province.
So why leave home?
I can tell the African National Congress was hijacked. That's what I can tell. It was hijacked by capital. The African National Congress was hijacked by criminals in the main. And it took a detour in terms of what we understand in building the Congress movement, the kind of cadre that we wanted to see within the Congress movement to drive home the National Democratic Revolution. Some of us who actually believe in a socialist future would always believe that in driving that particular journey, you need to be honest. And it's not about positions. It's about the beliefs that we have. The people must come first. It's not about you putting yourself forward because of positions. But now over time, you saw the influx of many people who are interested in the finances, saw government as the fastest route to becoming rich. And the only way to capture it was to go into the branches, float money. And I can tell the stewards were floating money in the branches of the Congress movement as a whole. Those were just the stewards. They are not the real people.
Okay, so then if you look at MK, if we were to take away the name Umkhonto weSizwe, if we were to take away the ANC struggle legacy, what would you say in one sentence MK is today? So your party, if you were to say, distill it in one sentence, what is it?
The MK party does not belong to any living soul. The MK party is a party of our ancestors. It's not just a party that you see now. those of us who are making a contribution in building this this organization, it's an organization that finds its roots in our traditional leadership. And it is for that reason that we believe that the current structure, as it stands now in terms of the constitution, does not reflect our Africanism. It doesn't reflect
the current structure of politics today.
The constitution itself.
Of the constitution. Okay.
As you see it today. Like, for example, I'm in parliament now. If you are to take the cries of our people, what goes into that public institution? It takes long for our people to get their responses. It's because we have a constitutional democracy. But if we were to have a parliamentary system, decisions would be taken. Currently now you have an institution that would generally depend on what the constitution says. The constitutional courts would have an overreach on what needs to be done from time to time. And that creates a difficulty.
So tell us a little bit about then what your party structures are like, you know, in the national level, in the regional level, or even is it personality based? And then the structure is formed around the personality. How is your party structured? And I assume eventually how you would like to see the country's governance structure.
We have not gone into the conference now as an organization.
Okay.
And that is deliberate. We wouldn't actually go into conference now because the current political environment is contaminated. You know, when the MK party was formed, the interest and the interest that the international community still has today, it's really amazing.
That the international
community still have now.
On the party?
On the party itself.
In what way? What do you mean by that?
Look, the MK party is a party pooper.
Okay.
It's a party pooper to the bureaucratic international one rule system that is being floated internationally. The bourgeoisie class currently, as you see, I mean internationally, believes that it's our way or there's no way at all. Now that the MK party has become a party pooper, everyone has an interest in it. And the infiltration into the MK party, it's amazing. The lives of its leadership, people who have come into the party, all these things that are happening currently as you see them, it's not something that we don't know, and it's not something that will last until tomorrow. It will last for a longer period. And the formation of our organization to be what it is will not be easy. It is for that reason that we have decided that we are not going to go into the conferences. We are not going to have conferences now. In fact, our interest is on the kind of cadre that we must build, that must be different, that must understand the trajectory within which we are traveling currently, understanding that we are an organization of the people, for the people, And that organization, because it's not an organization that come through because we wanted it to come through. Look,
I want to understand a little bit more about the collective. Mm. You know, you speak very much we, us, the leadership. Who makes up and who decides that we are not going to conference? And yet, at the same time, you are saying this is an organization for the people. So how do those two live next to each other? Who's making that decision if the people are not given a voice through a conference system?
What is the objective of a conference? Normally, conferences over time has deteriorated into the election of leadership. You can go through all the conferences that you see now, whether you're going to the ANC, whether you're going to the SACP, whether you're going to COSATU, and track the 5 days that have been put aside. And you'll realize that the end result will be the recycling of decisions that have been taken over time. They will just tick or tweak the wording into the conference document. We don't want to do that as the MK party. We don't want to, because the pressure that has been put on the MK party is that, no, going to conference and go and elect the leadership. Because those who put pressure on the MK party to go and elect leadership, we don't want to have a predetermined leadership that is going to be coming from outside. And maybe answering your question, we, it's ourselves as members of the MK party. That's the decision that we have taken in our first HUVO that took place in Bela Bela. And that's clearly what we said. Mm. We gave the mandate and we said that we are going to give President, His Excellency President Zikuzuma, that responsibility, and from time to time, ourselves, we are not there. You won't see us because most of the people want to see us. Unfortunately, you won't see us in the platforms. But we will have a discussion on how to take this organization forward and inform how it must be shaped. It's not going to be an easy road. Mm. The road in building the MK party is very long. And what you see coming out, playing out in the public, it's not something that is new to any organization. You can go back into the formation of the African National Congress. I mean, at some point, some of its leaders were elected not being in conference. They were not even elected. They were nominated because people preferred them to be there. I mean, at some point, J.B. Marx had to come and drag Oliver Tambo outside when he wanted to resign and say, no, you're not going to resign. So these are some of the things. These are some of the defining moments in the formation of an organization. And remember, the MK party, I mean, no one expected that the MK party would emerge in 2024. And let me just take you.
Okay. Before we go back, yeah. I mean, you bring up the decision for the head of the party to be former President Jacob Zuma. And he is quite a large character within the party. And many of what we see circulating is how influential he is in all the decision making and those within close proximity to him have got enjoy more access and more of his ear, right? And the thing that I'm quite interested to know is, as you say, that forming this party and building this party is a long road. What does it look like after Jacob Zuma? Because he's not a young man.
No one is close to President Jacob Zuma. Okay. No one. I can tell you now without any fear of contradiction. It's a suspicion. It might be a claim that, no, look, I am. No one is is close to President Jacob Zuma. Anyone who claims that is giving you a false hope, because if anyone is close to President Zuma, it's everyone. Anyone who's close to President Zuma is everyone. There's no president who has opened his doors to date like President Zuma. Every member, any journalist, you go to Nkandla, everyone is close to him, can access him. And no one has ever been accessed like that president. And that is why he is what it is today. So that is why I'm saying that there's no one who can claim to be close to President Zuma, and this is what has been whispered to him, because everyone can have access to him. And everyone can talk to him. So who are those people who claim that they are close to him? And he's a very astute leader. He listens to everyone, and he takes a decision based on having assessed the situation and having informed by the situation. And I've never in my entire life in politics, I still envy to be like him, the manner in which he conducts himself. It is precisely why many people would not want him, because especially the international forces, the Western, because they don't want the people, and he wants the people. And whatever he does, he moves with the people. So anyone who claims that he's close to President and is making those decisions because they were aspiring to him, they are actually giving, they're lying.
So earlier you spoke about how it took many people by surprise, the performance of MK at the ballot in 2024. Mm. And at the same time, you talk a lot about this formation, this party that is still forming itself. Would you characterize it more of a movement that's still becoming? And how does that live as being now the official opposition? A party or a movement that still in itself is unclear about how it works. And balancing that with the fact that you now have to be in the system that currently exists in that parliament and operating within those systems and within those rules and balancing the two.
You know that we are robbed.
Say that again.
You know that we are robbed in 2024.
I have to believe the IEC's reporting on it, which I think is transparent.
Yeah.
So that aside, we are here now,
yeah,
and whatever challenges that you still feel that need to be put out there, can be put out there. Yeah. But at this particular point in time, given the operating system that we are operating in, how do you balance those two?
Look, I think the MK party is the people's movement, and I wanted to take you through why the majority of the people moving forward will vote for the MK party. And I actually wanted to take you through to the 16th of December 2024. Sure. But I don't want to take you to 2024.
Okay.
And I want to take you back to the
16th of December 2023.
Okay. But then I want to draw you to the significance of that date. And I want to draw you back to the Chris Hani memorandum. Mm. Now, and this is what brings the MK party back. You remember the ANC wanted to fight for the MK party, taking us to court.
The name.
It was very painful. Now, There's a saying that history doesn't repeat itself except in the minds of those who don't know history.
Now, history is cyclical, yes.
Now, the Crisani Memorandum and all those comrades had to come back to the leadership of the ANC in exile and say, but it is not the reason why we are here. And what was playing out at that particular time was corruption within the movement, was nepotism within the movement, was all sorts of things that were happening in the movement. And that cadership, soldiers, including Crisani himself, they had to rise up to the leadership and call on its leadership to say, we want to go back home because we are here to arm ourselves to go and liberate our people from the shackles of economic isolation, from oppression. Now, fast forward. 1994, the people gives the ANC the mandate, just a breakthrough, to say, of course we accept this situation, but then the journey is still long towards economic freedom in our lifetime. Please take us there. Now, the repeat of what happened in exile with the leadership of the African National Congress, forgetting its struggle, nepotism, corruption, and all the things that have been happening within the movement. Now, who carries the baton from the Crisani Memorandum clan? Who has been there? Who emerges? It's Jacob Zuma. After having a cry within the movement, because all the things that he wanted them going through into the ANC. I'll just give you an example. You know, during President Jacob Zuma's leadership.
Of the country or of the
of
party?
Of the country. Okay. Of the country. The most of cabinet ministers who were put into key positions of the cabinet was the leadership of the SACP. And Kosatu, go and look at this.
But Jacob Zuma also comes from the SACP.
Yeah, no. I'm saying, the cry that would come now when he was called names and the likes, especially, and that was hitting. By then, by the way, I was the deputy secretary of the SACP in the Northwest. But I won't tell you other conversations that we had.
Well, you know, just listening to you tell this story in this way, the criticism we often hear of the MK party is that it's not really an alternative to the ANC. It's simply a continuation of unresolved ANC internal squabbles that have become public, and that is the rupture that has happened. And hearing you speak in this way, it just confirms those things. How do you respond to that kind of criticism?
I think that's the narrative that they want to carry forward. The reality is,
but that's the story you're telling.
No. I'm just taking you through. Your question was, remember when we started, you said to me, what brought up this shift? And I don't want to respond to that question to simply say, no, look, this shift, because it's not a personal journey. Mm. It's a national journey. It does not only belong to me as an individual, but it's an exodus. Okay. And I'm trying to show you that it's not an exodus of a few people who are disillusioned. I mean, I've never been in any leadership position in government. It's for the first time that I come through here as a member of parliament. It's an organization that is aimed at saving its people, and I'm taking you through this history of the emergence of the MK, and it speaks to one thing, that those who are within the movement, like the generation of Crisani, how it came about for that memorandum to be written, that by the way gave birth to the Morogoro Conference in 1969. Now, I'm giving you that journey. That's why I said it's a history that is repeating itself. Now, because the needs and the aspirations of our people in respect of releasing them from the bondages of economic suppression has not been realized. And that hope that has been given has not been realized by our people. Now, the masses are saying, where is the answer? And the answer is the MK Party.
Well, let's bring it down to the nuts and bolts,
yes.
Away from some of the more philosophical and historical parts of this. If the MK,
that is not philosophical.
Well, it seems ideological. It seems steeped in historical references, and it's interesting to me because all of these historical references in a country like the one we have today, where the median age is 27, many of them don't even remember Krisani.
And you know why they would not remember?
And those conversations remain open as to how history is taught and what is given to the next generation, right? However, the challenges that they see, that they face in their day-to-day, these young people who are the majority of South Africans, who make up the majority of South Africans today, think beyond those kinds of ideological battles and drawn lines. And if you were to say tomorrow, the MK Party has got access to the administration, you are the government, what are the three systems that you believe are key to changing the trajectory of South Africa? Knowing the problems we have today of youth unemployment, of high inequality, access to healthcare, what would you prioritize as the MK?
I think the elephant in the room currently is the current constitution of the country. It doesn't speak to our people.
So you would prioritize the constitution and not jobs?
The first, you deal with the constitution because over the past 30 years, I think it has proven that the constitutional democracy is not working at all. So that we can now look into the question of our culture, our tradition, and the only way to deal with that aspect is to overhaul the education system. Because, you see, the education system needs to have an overhaul. What is the excitement of having people or our young people being educated to go and work? We want our education to speak to embellish the natural capacities that people have. I'll give you an example. If you have not everyone is academic, and not everyone is meant to go into a university and be a researcher and do all those things. There are many of our young people who, if we have an education system that will enhance on their natural capacities, wouldn't be having the rugby system that is the rugby national team that is currently dominated by white people. Wouldn't be having swimmers when they go to the Olympics. Do you mean that in the South African society, our own black people are unable to reach that status? No. It is because our education system currently, which was enacted by Verwoerd, it's meant to drive our people to see themselves as hewers of wood and drawers of water. If you go to a restaurant, let's take, for example, most of the chain stores that are here, at the till where we buy, most of the kids that are there, young people that are there, Some of them have got more qualifications than me. But why are they there? It's because they were made to believe that go and study, have masters, have this. But if you were to have an education system that would, for example, let me just say, for example, you don't have a teacher today who teaches arts and culture, or who just to put aside a day in a school curriculum just for sports and arts, and so that they can, you can see them trajecting into the national teams. Why? Why has that collapsed? It is deliberate. So now, the question that there are no jobs in the country. Why don't you have jobs when you have you can walk out of Sandton now? There are no jobs. The whole place it's grassy. Individuals, and one of the things that we need to deal with when we repeal, we must deal with the tender system, which is a problem. Because currently, as we have now, it's only individuals who are meant to be in the tender system that has corrupted the system. But I think that's a topic for another day. But the three things, we must deal with the constitution, we must deal with the education system. Because if you don't have an education system where the people understand, young people understand who they are and where they come from, then you're going to have a problem. I'll give you an example now. Our languages have disappeared completely. We can't even have a conversation as friends in our own languages for more than 10
minutes. I don't know about your friends. I don't know about the friends that you hang out with.
Yeah.
But okay. My friends and my family, no. All right. We don't have that problem. No.
All right. Why,
not
why,
even with our kids.
All right. Why in the yeah, our kids is,
no, we don't have that problem.
With our kids. Not I mean but you might.
No, but
be,
seriously, yeah. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. So I am intrigued at the two that are top of mind for you. I'm interested to hear, because you also sit in the health portfolio, right?
Yes.
You sit in a couple of portfolios in Parliament. I'm interested, and you talk about the MK being for the people. And ultimately, that's what people judge parties on what you deliver for them, right? And the fact that you didn't bring up health intrigues me. So I'm going to ask you, specifically about health,
you
know, about the national health insurance.
You overtook me, because that was the third thing.
Is that your third thing?
Yeah.
That sounds like you copying the test. But so, do you support the NHI? Do you support the NHI in its current form, or in principle, or do you think even that, in the way that it's being pushed through, needs to be relooked? Does it pass the test that the MK has?
Look, I think our people's health. You can't have a nation that is not healthy. I think that's the first thing. The current you know that the NHI, it's a campaign that was carried through the movement for over six decades. You can go through all the documents of the ANC, of the movement, 1955, but the thing has always been, our people must have access to health equally. And it is the state that must be the custodian of the health system. And it is the state that must distribute health equally to our people, and those services must remain in the hands of the state, because it is the state that has been given that responsibility by the people through the vote.
So do you support the current NHI?
We do support the, remember, it has been watered down. It needs to be strengthened. Remember, a few weeks back, the Constitutional Court in particular interfered, what I call the overreach, into the the other sphere of government. And, you know, remember the health system in the country has its own history. Wherein we are governed by three, med scheme, life care. So they want to encroach into a space that is not theirs. The med scheme systems, I mean, those are administrators, but they want to control how health must be redistributed to the people. And how the 1950 Act, when it was enacted in terms of separate development, the same route is taken in terms of health. The majority of the resources were deployed within the white areas. The hospitals were built within those areas. Good infrastructure was built in those areas. And what happened to the black majority? Underfunded. At some point, black doctors were not even allowed to practice in white areas. I'm giving you that history so that you must now understand the judgment that came through. Because the idea was that it is the national department that must decide on the services and how to redistribute those services. Now, the repeat now happens, but using the current democratic system. In a soft way, to say, no, look, this government cannot take away our rights as business people to go and do practice where we want to do it in terms of building. We must build them here, not where the majority of black people are, which is in the rural areas where the services are needed. Now, say, all right, the constitutional judgment says, no, you can't interfere with business. Health must not be business. The doctors, when they graduate or when they are given those certificates must prioritize the people over business. And currently, as the system stands now in South Africa, you have a situation whereby business want to interfere and go into where it is not supposed to. Be doing its business. It's controlled internationally, so our people continue to suffer. And as the MK party, we will go into length to make sure that the national health insurance sees its day in a manner in which it must serve.
Well, that is, on the one side, you talk about business interfering in government. I then want to talk about, on the other side, where government seems to be interfering with business, which has a direct impact on the people's lives. MK says our legislation must reflect the lived realities of our people. At the same time, as all of this is happening, you also have a bill in our parliament, which is the tobacco products and electronic systems, right? So now government is saying business cannot operate in a particular way. And this has a direct impact, particularly in the informal sector, where a lot of who you call our people operate. And this is government directly encroaching in their business and how they do work. What do you think of that? Where's the line?
Can you simplify your...
My question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I want to...
Government must reflect, and legislation must reflect, the lived experience and aspirations of ordinary South Africans. Many ordinary South Africans operate in the informal sector. And here now, with this tobacco products and electronic delivery systems bill, government directly impacting negatively the lives of ordinary people in the way that it is pushing how these particular businesses work. So now government is saying you can't sell loose stick cigarettes. Government is saying you cannot display tobacco products. Government is saying to these informal traders, many of whom this is their business, you cannot do this. You are in government. You are the opposition party. How do you respond to that? Because on the one side, you're saying business can't do this because it is the preserve of government. And on the other side, the preserve of government is not responding to the lived reality of those informal traders.
I can tell you now without any fear of contradiction that if you, it's a bill still in discussion.
Mm.
In fact, we could have gone through this bill, what we call the desirability vote in Parliament.
Mm.
But then our submission is very clear to say that the majority of our people must not be punished and be used as scapegoats to get the big business and illicit traders through. Because now, you see, the argument by some of the parties is that, no, look, loose cigarettes, and that's what they survive on. And we stand vehemently opposed to the punishment of our informal traders. We are vehemently opposed. Remember, if you look at the bill, we are talking about combustible and non-combustible. We look at the realities. In fact, because the MK party put health first, we would be the first ones who says, let's ban tobacco, you know. But then because of the lived realities that you have just spoken to, we need to balance between the two. The smokers who have been there over time, and we need regulation that is not going to be to promote. We need to regulate, because if you ban, you are going to promote illicit trading, on the other hand. So don't do that. We are very clear in terms of the promotion of cigarettes that would be sold to kids. We ban that. That must be banned. Vaping that is going to be attractive to children, we say no to that. Online, that is our submission, you know, because we need to protect our kids. You know, currently there are vapes that are open-ended, that are not closed. We say that must be banned because we don't know what goes into those. So they are in our submission. We are saying banning would be very dangerous. That is why even in our submission we've said that there must be exclusions. For example, I mean the original document would talk about harm is harm. Everything that comes through, whether you talk about snuff, we're taking care of our people. And that's why we're opposed, vehemently opposed. In our submission, it's basically saying there must be exemptions to certain categories. And what is the category that we're looking at? We're looking at our own people. For example, the Act would say, no, look, if a person is selling sticks that are there, and then a person cannot police, and because you're going to cause chaos. I mean, person is buying cigarettes here, when he buys that popular cigarette and you want the person who's selling that cigarette to police that person. No, it can't be. So there are several things that we are putting forward as the MK party to make sure that that particular sector is promoted. In any way, our people are not producers of those products. What is lacking in terms of our roles over time is enforcement. There's APS, SARS, the border. All efforts must be combined to make sure that illicit trading does not thrive. Remember what happened during COVID? When people said, no, don't drink, don't do this. What happened? Illicit trading thrived. And now, with this bill, the MK party is considering all the factors, the economic factor. Remember I said, someone would say, no, let's ban these cigarettes. And everyone like, no, let's ban these cigarettes. But the reality is, it's not possible. What we need to do for those who are smoking, we need to encourage them to quit. But then we need to, in doing that, you need to have less harmful products that will drive them to that trajectory.
Okay. Let's take a long view.
Let's take what?
A long view.
Yes.
10 years from now, what do you think the MK Party will be remembered for?
The MK Party...
Looking back to this period. 10 years, looking back to this period. What will the MK Party be remembered for?
I think the MK Party would be remembered as a party that has brought dignity to our people. The MK Party would be remembered as having brought back our cultures and tradition to have the respect that they deserve. 10 years to come, our people will celebrate that at least there's water that is not stagnant. There's water that is coming through their pipes every day. Our people will be no person would be unemployed. And when I say no person must be and would be unemployed, I'm saying that that is realizable, that is possible, if you have a government that cares for its people. There's no young people who must be in the streets, not at all. And we have a mechanism to deal with that particular aspect. It's either a person must be in the classroom, a person must be working, where a person must be deployed into the army. So no person will be in the streets. No person will be unemployed.
Well, I think it's a good place to end. But before we do, I started a new thing. I want to do a rapid fire. So okay. Quick answers.
Okay.
Yes or no answers.
Yes.
Yes or no answers only. Right. First question. Has the GNU succeeded or failed? One of the two. Succeeded or failed?
Dismal failure.
Dismal failure. Have they got anything right? Has the GNU gotten anything right in your view?
No.
Not a thing?
Not a thing.
Do you think young people can resonate with your historical positioning as a party?
Yes.
Do you think that in the local general election, your party is going to be stronger?
Absolutely.
And my last question, if you could change one thing with a magic wand, one thing, solve one problem in South Africa today that faces the masses, what would it be? One
thing.
Only one thing. If you could wave a magic wand and solve one problem facing South Africans today, what is that problem?
I'll give our people the land.
You would give the people the land. Okay. I think that's good.